Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to Here We Sew Again, the podcast where three sewists from different backgrounds discuss all things sewing. I'm Kate Zeinard.
And I'm Amanda Carestio. Meg Healy will be joining us again next time. Today on the podcast, we are talking all about turning your hobby into a business, or not. There are certainly pros and cons, and Kate and I will discuss those as new small business owners ourselves. It's going to be super interesting. Then we'll each share some sew inspo. Before we jump in, though, how are you, Kate?
I'm doing well. I spent all of the last 2 days doing product photography for my upcoming autumn releases. So that was a good time. My niece is my stylist and photographer, and she is awesome. So I've got some really great photos that I'm very excited to share over the next couple of weeks, and then probably over the next couple of months while I keep trying to sell the soap.
It should be no surprise that, like, that you love the fall and, like, the Halloween-themed stuff, because that was always my favorite issue of the magazine to work on, both magazines, and it was yours, too. Like, so much spooky fun. Like, that's the best.
Yes. Yes, I love spooky fun, and if I do say so, I really knocked it out of the park with my Halloween soaps. I love them, and I am so excited to share them with people. So,
yay! I love it. Well, you've been killing it with all your amazing soap reels, and yeah, you've been doing a great job.
Thank you. Well,
how are you doing?
Oh, I am doing okay.
I am doing a lot of sewing, not for myself. I'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. But, you know, doing the back to school thing. Slowly getting used to the fact that it's going to be fall here very soon. Mm-hmm. I have mixed feelings.
I was driving down the down a road the other day, and I realized that there were a couple of little trees, like not baby trees, but like teenage trees, that were just completely turned already. And I was like, that's not okay.
I know.
It's not okay.
Time is so weird right now. I think for everyone, it's just weird. There's no other way around it. But I think I'm a little excited. I do love me some Halloween. So That helps a little bit.
It's like this weird time of year where it's like everything is holding its breath, waiting for that moment of change to start.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Kind of poetic.
Thanks.
I like it.
I am a writer.
Yeah.
To some level.
Absolutely you are. Well, let's jump in with So What's New. I feel like I haven't been on my sewing Instagram as much lately, for better or worse, but there was a new designer, not a new designer. There was a designer who was new to me, called Tammy Handmade, and she has three new releases. The Rainy Skirt, which is a nice maxi length skirt with a curved hem, which I love. There's the Mia crop top, which has kind of a squarish neckline, and the Jaya jumpsuit. And I was looking, she's got quite a backlog. I don't know how I missed this designer, but that's kind of the amazing thing about the indie sewing world is like you're always finding people who have been out there doing their thing and they're new to you, and it's amazing. And so she's got quite a good number of designs. And I have to say, surprisingly, I really like her dresses. As like a not super dress oriented person, I liked hers. They were like kind of modern and not all of, like, there were a couple of minimal type designs that were just kind of classic but modern. And I don't know, again, I think it's kind of a, I don't have many places to wear dresses at this point in my life,
right?
And certainly not super fancy dresses, but if I did, that would be, that's kind of my cup of tea.
Awesome. I'm going to have to check her out because I don't think I've ever seen her either.
Tammy Handmade. Really lovely
Tammy
stuff.
Handmade. Awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump into our main discussion topic, turning your hobby into a business. So juicy topic to discuss. The timing is right because we're both in the throes of our small business ownership journey. And so I know we have probably a lot to learn still, because it's kind of a learn and do as you go scenario. But I feel like I've already picked up some things. I've already had some learning moments, and I'm guessing you have too, Kate.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I hope that our listeners are not going to be too bothered by the fact that I'm mostly going to be talking about soap today, because that's what my business is. But Amanda's is sewing, so we're still on our main topic too.
Absolutely. And I think the real key is thinking about your hobby, thinking if it's something that you want to potentially make money off of, and maybe if it's not something that you want to make money off of, and like how you can kind of sort through that decision if you feel compelled to. So I thought that I would share a little bit about my background and kind of what I'm currently doing. And then Kate, I want you to jump in and share your background as well. But this is, I've kind of always worked to support artists just through various points in my career, having worked in craft publishing for 15 years. It's always been about artists writing books, producing art, going to shows, just in a variety of formats. And I've always, that's just feels right to me. And I think I like the small business aspect of it as well. And as I was thinking about starting the business that I've started, which is called Pop of Neutral after my Instagram handle, and it's all handmade garments, mostly tops for the time being, I was like, wow, this feels like such a leap of faith and, you know, totally new territory. And then I had a moment where I realized it's actually my third time doing this. So there's nothing to be scared about. It's different than the previous two, and it's a little bit more formal. But I have probably 20 years ago, I had a small stained glass business. I was making pieces for a local gallery in Asheville, North Carolina. And that was a moment, like, I took a class at a local community college. I absolutely fell in love and made pieces and sold them in downtown Asheville. It was great.
I did not know that about you.
Yeah. Like I said, it wasn't very formal, and I didn't do it for very long. Next, I was very into mini quilts and kind of decorative wall hangings, as well as needle felted things, specifically mushrooms. and I did two local shows this was like probably 10 to 15 years ago. I did a couple of local shows and again in Asheville, North Carolina, and had some success doing that. But it was definitely always like a side hustle and something that I did just because I felt like I wanted to be creating those things, and I realized that I could sell them. And now, as I said, garments, and vastly different scenario now. I'm doing a lot on Instagram. I have a website, but I'm also kind of going back to my roots a little bit, and I've got a show coming up in September, which I am getting ready for. So it's not totally new. I'm a different person than I was when I was doing this before. And I have a lot more responsibilities. I'm still doing it as a side hustle. But yeah, it's not totally new. I have to keep reminding myself that. Like, yeah, I thought about it for a long time before I did it. And one of the reasons that I felt comfortable jumping into it is because I had done a good bit of production work for a local slow fashion company. I knew I could make a whole bunch of things over mm-hmm. and over again. I love production sewing. I don't have to think so hard. So I kind of knew what I was getting into, which made mm-hmm. it both easier and harder to take the leap, I think.
Yeah. I can totally see that.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you?
So I don't have any real experience like that. I don't think I've ever sold anything that I've created before. I have definitely gifted a lot of things that I have. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've made little cross-stitch ornaments for people and sewn them dice bags. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that I've made and given as gifts, but I've never had, I've never had the guts to say that something that I've made would be worth somebody actually paying money for. Mm-hmm. And I started soaping in, I think, 2015, something like that. And almost from the get-go, I had various friends and relatives telling me I should sell. And I was very resistant to that, both because of the, you know, infamous thing, don't turn your hobbies into businesses, because then that ruins the hobby aspect of it. And because I really just didn't have, like, the things that people do, they're amazing. I flip through Instagram and I'm like, these people make the most gorgeous soaps. I cannot believe I am thinking I can even compete with them. But, you know, I made kind of a decision about my niche. I went a little bit simpler than a lot of people do. I try to make soaps that are pretty, but also not so pretty that you don't feel like you can use them, because there are a lot of things that I see where I'm like, if I had that soap, I would not use it because it's so pretty. It's a work of art. And so I'm trying to find a balance there where it's pretty, but not like a work of art to the point where you won't use it. I think I've lost the track of what I was trying to say here. But anyway, I've been kind of struggling a little bit. I am unemployed at the moment. I don't know that I've actually mentioned that on the podcast before. And I've been having trouble finding employment. So I decided I needed to do something to make myself feel like I was doing something. And so I decided to take the plunge on this one and go ahead and do the soap thing. And it's been a bit of a journey for sure. Kind of figuring out, luckily I had, my sister-in-law who's, brilliant, helping me with a bunch of my steps. And, yeah, I'm pretty pleased with how the launch went, and I'm looking forward to seeing where I go from here. Was that the kind of answer to that question, or was that just babbling?
No, I like it. And I like hearing kind of about your niche and your approach. I feel like I have similar thoughts about my small business that I started but they're not so fully formed and eloquent yet. But mine's very similar. It's like very wearable pieces with like a little bit of an artistic flavor.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because I feel like we're both kind of pointing towards the go ahead and use it. Like,
yeah,
take it off the shelf, take it off the hanger and wear it. Use the soap.
Yeah.
You know, don't be so precious about it. So that's really interesting. Yes.
And we're please kind use of... the soap so that you have to buy more.
Exactly. Exactly. yes, please. So you mentioned the meme and the like wisdom of not turning your hobby into your business. And I mm-hmm. think that weighed heavily on my mind when I took this leap. I think, again, if I hadn't known that I could handle this type of sewing, then I probably wouldn't have felt comfortable taking that leap. Mm-hmm. I also now have been sewing for a very long time, and it's one of those things, like, I know my thoughts on it will change, but a lot of times if I take a long break from sewing, I don't necessarily want to go back to it. Whereas if I keep sewing, I kind of keep needing it in my life, and keep wanting to do it and kind of sustain it a little bit more. Talk to me in a couple of weeks when I'm completely over getting ready for this show, and I will probably have a different input. But I also knew that, like, doing production sewing wasn't going to make me not want to sew.
Right.
I think it will probably change it has already changed my relationship with sewing a little bit, but I don't feel like it jeopardizes that. Like, I still love it. It still makes me feel peaceful and grounded and all of that. So, but it did weigh heavily on my mind. And I thought maybe we could, I want to kind of examine making this decision and turning your hobby into your business from the pro side and the con side, as we've mm-hmm. learned so far. And I think one thing that I forget and that is really, really important, I think, is that even if it's on a small scale, this is like, it's a valuable business experience to have. Mm-hmm. Starting your own business, creating an online website, doing your own social media, like all yeah. of those things can relate to other jobs if you want them to. And I think that is an underrated kind of quality. Like, it's business experience.
Yeah. And I have to say, since I started Cherry Stone Soapworks, I am getting so much better at Instagram and yeah, like hardly absolutely. Bad at it anymore.
Killing it. Hardly oh, bad you. At it. No.
And my friend encouraged me. I just downloaded TikTok, so I'm trying to figure that out. Nice. But, you know, that's really valuable stuff to be able to say I have marketed my own business on social mm-hmm. media.
Totally. So just wanted to put that out there. I think some of the reasons that the pros and the reasons that kind of pushed me this direction were that, I mean, I think through the course of my professional career, I've given so much passion and energy and creativity to build things for other people and other businesses. Mm-hmm. And I kind of wanted to save that for myself and be kind of investing in myself long term. And have something that I can do even if, you know, as a side hustle, as a full-time business, maybe someday as a side gig, if, you know, I'm hopefully able to like fully retire someday, I will still keep myself busy. I can see myself doing what I'm doing now. I've also really loved bringing my family into it, and yes. particularly my daughter, Ruby. She's gotten a few paychecks so far, but it's been really lovely to kind of have her as a partner in this.
I'm obviously doing most of the legwork.
Right.
And that's okay, because it still gives her a source of pride. She's invested to a certain extent. That makes sense for, you know, a 10-year-old. But it's kind of something that we're working on together. And my boys are like, when can we help? You know, they want to get involved too. So I don't know. Those are kind of some of the reasons that I wanted to take the leap. And I think a lot of it, you know, did stem from people saying over the years, do you make stuff to sell? Would you make stuff for me? You know, like I definitely heard that a lot. And before, every time I heard it, I was like, no, like I really, really resisted. And I don't know, at some point I decided that I think a lot of it came down to me having enough garments for myself. Like I really,
yes.
I can make more than I need. And I like, again, making the same thing over and over again.
Yeah.
Experimenting with fabric combinations. And I don't need, I mean, I made myself like 5 new blouses this spring and I love them and I've worn them all summer long, but you know, there's no need anymore. So I kind of wanted another driver in the equation.
You wanted to keep sewing.
I did.
But you didn't have any more space in your closet for yourself.
I have no space. I have no space. How about you? What are your pros that you've discovered so far?
Well, this is not on my little notes here on the thing, but I agree that it's really nice being able to bring in family. Like I mentioned earlier, my niece, who's 19, has been doing styling and photography for me and also helping me a little bit with social media. And it's really just lovely bringing her into it and having her so passionate about helping me out and getting to spend time with her. And yeah, that has been absolutely wonderful. The other thing that I think is generally a pro about turning your hobby into a business is that you always have an excuse to do your hobby. It's like, I feel like if you're ever like, oh, I feel like sewing, but I've got other stuff I've got to do. Instead, you're like, oh, no, I've got to go sew because it's my business. And so I've got to. Ha ha. Or soap in my case. And then I have to and it's very validating to get to show off something that you're good at, and you know, getting onto it, and you get so much validation and so much gratification from somebody saying, yeah, this is something that I'm willing to pay money for. That is such a good feeling, and I think it's a really good reason, because you know, sometimes you just need some validation. And
and you're putting something artful and lovely and handmade into the world.
Yes.
And making people's lives better, right, by making them smell good and comfortable in their clothes. You know, we're selling ourselves short here. There's a lot of pros that we haven't listed. Our cons list was quite long. So I think we can jump into that. And I think there's not a lot of surprises. One is that I feel it's very hard for me to pace myself, especially just getting started. And my goal is to really think more long term. So I need to get to a place that is more sustainable than I'm at now. But I also think that it's kind of natural to just have more to do as you're getting started. It's hard for me to turn it off sometimes. Like I think a lot about business, things I want to make, things I want to try, things I could be doing. It's especially with a show coming up, I feel like there's that time limit is just kind of brutal. Like, you know, you have to be in a spot where you can make enough so that you can sell enough so that it's a worthwhile venture.
Right.
If
I can break in, for me, I spent all of last week making my autumn soaps. And that was because ideally I'd like to be able to start selling them the like week after Labor Day. And mm-hmm. because soap takes at least 4 weeks to cure, I had to get it done. You got to a point where I was like, I don't want to do this anymore, but I gotta because I've got this timeline that I have to hit.
Yeah. Speaking of that, it's a lot of money to get started.
Yes.
Like you have to spend money to make money, even mm-hmm. when it's your small business.
Yes.
And I'm kind of constantly looking for, you know, cost-effective options and, it's a big investment. And I
definitely
was doing a really great job of keeping track of it. And now I think I'm at a point where I don't want to know. So, but it's okay. Again, like you have to, I think I would probably move that to the things that I wish I had known getting started. Cause of course I knew, but it is, I feel guilty about having spent a good bit of money. And there's a timeline between when you buy the raw materials and you can sell the items.
Right.
And it's weighing on me a little bit right now.
Yeah, definitely. It is. It's those moments when you're like, okay, I just spent $200 on soaping supplies because I need a bigger soap mold and I need, you know, the oils so I can actually make this soap. And yeah, it can get really like kind of freaky when you're mm-hmm. looking at the price of what you are investing and trying to figure out if your sales are going to justify it.
Because you don't know. It's a leap of faith. You know,
exactly.
And if you set yourself up and you're doing like more made to order things, then I think it's a little bit different. But I have a long way to go before I'll be at that level. It's a leap of faith.
It definitely is.
I will also say that having Instagram for personal reasons and having like 47 Instagram accounts for all my various hobbies is a very different experience than having one for a business. Even though I've done social media for businesses before, it's hard to sell yourself, even if you think you're great. And just like where that marketing line is, you know, without being, you know, overly humble, if there is such a thing.
It's trying to find that balance between buy my stuff and
exactly. And
would you please buy my stuff?
I know. My stuff's okay, I guess. So there's that. The other thing that I knew was going to happen, it happened in stained glass. You don't necessarily get to make what you want all the time. You kind of have to make what sells. And maybe you can do a little bit of both, you know, have your passion pieces, but also focus on what sells. My example was I did stained glass in Asheville, very touristy town. If you made art in Asheville, you should probably, you know, include some mountains because it is, you know, in the mountains and people love it because it's in the mountains.
Right.
So I ended up, you know, making a lot more mountain things than I originally thought I would. And it was okay because, again, like balance out your pieces that you're making. Like you hope they sell, but you just kind of want to make them. You need to make them with making smart business decisions about what people want, responding to that feedback, you know. I can tell that's going to come to a head for me before too long.
Yeah. For me, this is so ironic. My best-selling soap is my least favorite. It's a fragrance blend that, oh my gosh, I used to give it to people for Christmas. They all loved it. Like, people are obsessed with it. They think it's the best. And I'm just like, this is not my favorite. I would not make this if not everybody didn't want it, but everybody wants it. So I keep making it.
Yeah. I mean, it's smart. And
yeah, I mean, that's there's of... no reason not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's not, you know, it's so much fun to like make all of the decisions, but those are decisions you don't get to make, you know,
yeah.
Like what people like.
Exactly.
So, any other cons?
Well, so I said as a pro, you always have an excuse to do your hobby. But then, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, it also means that sometimes you have to do your hobby when you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
When you've made a batch of soap every single day that week and you just want a day off from making soap, but man, you've got to finish, you know, you got to finish your set. Sometimes you just have to do it when you don't want to. And of course, the other thing is you have less time for other hobbies if you're focusing on, you know, your business hobby. I haven't really sewn anything in a couple months now because I've been busy making soap and focusing on the soap business and getting it launched and getting my stuff figured out for my next sets. And I just haven't had time to sew. And that's kind of depressing. So that's definitely a downside. If you have multiple hobbies that you love to do, the one that is your business is going to start taking over your life.
Totally. I agree. Yeah, I was thinking about it too in terms of like being busy, because I definitely feel busier now. Mm-hmm. My brain is always thinking about business things. It's hard to turn it off. And I'm a person, like I respond well in that scenario, and it's been really creatively inspiring. But also like busy is good and bad, you know?
Yeah.
It's good and bad for creative people, I think.
Some days you just want to relax and you just can't.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, if we haven't turned everyone off from starting their own business yet, and there are people who still want to do it, what are your top tips for getting started? Anything that you wish you had known? Any considerations that you'd like to pass along to listeners?
Yeah, for sure. For me, one of the things I've really been struggling with is my post-launch crash. Because when I launched, I got a whole bunch of sales right away. And then since then, it's been kind of crickets. And that's really tough. And I'm working real hard on my marketing and trying to reach new people who might want to buy my soap, and I'm trying not to get too discouraged, but it's really hard when it's so exciting for a little bit and then all of a sudden it's nothing. And I don't know if you experienced that as well, but it's something to be prepared for, because, you know, it happens, and it's discouraging, it's depressing, and you have to take a deep breath and get through it.
Yeah, push through. I totally experienced that. I didn't know it was a thing. I hadn't really given it a name. So you sharing your experience is giving me some perspective on mine as well. 100%.
Oh yeah, absolutely. The other thing that I've figured out is that it's a good idea when you're taking product photography to take some different angles and some different kind of shots and stuff, because at a certain point you're like, okay, I'm out of pictures to post, but I want to keep marketing this stuff. So I've just got to repeat my pictures or, you know, that sort of thing, the making sure that you've got enough content to keep posting something different. is something I'm still working on. It's it's a weird little thing, but when you're marketing, you have to keep posting stuff, and if it's always the same thing, it's not going to be interesting to people eventually.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm right there. I mean, I keep kind of reminding myself, like, you do kind of have to play the Instagram game a little bit if that's where you're focused on building your audience. Like, you got to post stuff regularly. You probably should do some reels. I've also been trying to, like, remind myself that it can be as big or small as I want it to be. It can be my own pace, you know, like trying to not get drawn into that a little bit. But it's very tricky. And I'm right there with you. I'm like, what do I post about now? On personal page, it's so easy. On the business side, like coming up with something that doesn't sound like, hey, buy my shirt.
Right.
And it seems valuable. But there are some good resources out there. I found a really great list of some ideas for small business owners. I'll share it with you, Kate. There were some good things
please
on
do.
There. It's not rocket science. But I think, too, it's like it's about the products, but you also have to tell your story a little bit. So making sure that you're there as a person, too, and like creating a good balance, I think, is definitely part of it as well. I think for me, I think try to get as good a sense of as you can of what you're in for, what you're signing up for before you really take the leap. I mean, that's not rocket science, but as I mentioned, I did some production sewing for a small business. I have a good friend who has a small business who does lots of Denver shows. She does jewelry and it's amazing. If you've been on my Instagram feed, you've seen her stuff because I'm like her number one fan. And talk to those people and like really get a sense of what it's going to take and think. And again, think about how big you want it to be. You know, it doesn't have to be a full-time business for you. It can be. I mean, I'm lucky to have it as a side gig right now and not be depending on it. And I think that would probably change a lot of my thoughts about starting a small business. But you can keep it small. Maybe start
and,
with yeah.
Oh, and what my sister-in-law pointed out to me, this is not a lifetime commitment. If it's not working out or you're not enjoying it anymore or whatever, you can just stop. You stop doing it, close the business, be done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And try small first. You know, I think you are right. There is a moment when you really have to trust yourself and that what you have is a quality product. It's worth people paying money for. Mm-hmm. Maybe try with friends and family first and see how it feels. Although those relationships are often vastly more complicated. But see how you feel about selling your time, selling your products. See if it, and you know, keep track of how you feel about your hobby. If it's creating distance, maybe it's not something to jump in full throttle to. Learn as much as you can, I think, before making the decision.
Or do what I do and just jump in.
Just jump in. I mean, you're going to learn as you go. That's kind of the beauty of it. You're going to make mistakes. My favorite mistake so far, or just like things that I just had not really thought about, I'm using a lot of like secondhand fabric, and I bought this fabric. It was perfect. I had the perfect usage for it, and it wasn't super expensive. But I was like, I kind of got curious about what it was. And so I did a burn test to see if I could figure it out. And I think it was probably like a wool nylon blend, which would have felt fine about using it. But it burned so quickly that I was like, I can't use this on clothing and feel okay about it because it's like kind of flammable. So I had to just get different fabric. But I just hadn't, because if it was for me, I probably wouldn't have even done a burn test. I would have just made it. And but now I'll probably burn test every secondhand fabric I get just so I can know what it is and share that information. Confident.
But yeah,
learning moment for sure. Like maybe absolutely. I should just take my lighter to the secondhand fabric store. Probably not.
Yeah, probably I don't think they'd appreciate that.
No, no. So you went into soap. You did not go into sewing.
True.
Talk a little bit about why you decided against a sewing-based business.
Okay, well, there were a couple of reasons that I went for soap specifically and not sewing. The first one is I don't think that I do like production sewing. I don't know that I've ever actually tried. But I also, I spent a lot of time sewing for other people when I was in the theater.
Yes.
And one of the things I really love about sewing now is sewing for myself. And so it would be a big blow to my love of sewing to start sewing for other people. On top of that, and I hope this isn't like bothersome to you, I find that people are not, a lot of people are just not willing to pay the amount of money they need to pay for a handmade garment, totally. Unless it's like a wedding dress. And I was not about to sew wedding dresses for people. Mm-hmm. So there's the kind of stuff that I like to sew is similar to the stuff you like to sew. It's casual. It's everyday wear. And convincing somebody to spend, you know, the amount of money that it would take to make it worthwhile when they can go over to Target and buy something similar for $10, it's tough. And mm-hmm. I actually really admire your willingness to do that, because that yeah. was a huge part of why I didn't want to do that. And also sewing was a hobby that I didn't want to add business to, just in general. I started soaping, like I said, in like 2015, but I had kind of stopped. I hadn't soaped for a long time. And so when I decided to start doing it professionally, it was kind of like, I'm going to pick this back up again and start doing it, because it's not something that I'm doing now. It's not going to ruin my soaping hobby, because I'm not really doing my soaping hobby, which I don't know if that makes any sense. I feel like it's really bizarre, but that was a big part of my reasoning. And so if I am sewing something, I take a garment, I spend a couple hours or several hours, and in the end I have one garment that I need to sell for a fairly large amount of money to make it worthwhile. Whereas if I make a batch of soap, I spend a couple hours and I've got 15 bars of soap so that I can sell them for a smaller amount of money. And I've got a whole bunch of product instead of a single product from mm-hmm. approximately the same amount of time. And for me, you know, it's obviously a lot cheaper of a product than a handmade garment, but to me, it's like the return on time investment was more valuable to me because of the way I function. So those were a large number of reasons why I decided to go soap instead of sewing.
Yep. All of those make sense to me. And I do think, I mean, I think for any small business owner, like Target is a threat. I would say the same thing about soap, that people – you know, you have to find people who see value in what you're creating, and it's work to find them. But I do think they're there, but it is the time investment. And you're right, you spend a lot of time on one item versus creating a bunch of products. It's tricky. So, and I'm like, I hope it works. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a bar of artisan soap is significantly more expensive than, you know, what you would buy at Target soap-wise.
Totally.
And I think mine are generally less expensive than a lot of the others that you find artisan soaps. Again, because I'm not doing the super, super fancy stuff. But still, you still have to find somebody who's willing to pay, you know, $8 for a bar of soap when they can just go to Target and get a bar of soap for a buck.
Totally. You know, in listening to you talk, I think too about sewing, I think I already felt like I had been using my hobby in my business because I was in craft publishing.
Yes.
You know, I really, there was such an intersection with what I loved to do, my hobby, and how I was making money, bringing my passion and my knowledge to those publications, those projects, those businesses, that it already, like, I guess I was just already comfortable doing that. So taking that step didn't feel foreign to me. And yeah, I think that's where I got to with it. Now, it is so funny because my other hobby is roller skating, and I could teach roller skating lessons. I'm not, probably not to that level yet, but maybe someday. And for me, it's really important that I didn't do that. And I think part of it is just like how I use that hobby. It is my complete release. It is precious to me because of that. I need to zone out. I listen to music loud. It's someone like exercise, but it's also a bit performance oriented, I guess. And like that felt like a clear no for me. Like I don't want to take my love of that anywhere else than where it is right now. Mm-hmm. And I do know that a lot of people feel that way about sewing. And I have felt like that about sewing at many points in my life. And I think now it's, it feels okay. I feel good about it. And it's,
that's the most important thing.
Yeah. And it's, you know, it is changing my relationship with, sewing Instagram, and like, I won't have bandwidth to try all the new patterns that are coming out, but it's a different, I mean, I think the other thing is like, working now with a sewing machine company, a lot of people try to make money with sewing. They buy machines with that intention, they look for features with that intention. And I don't know, all of that came together for me, and I felt okay about taking the leap. But I think that if you feel pressure to do it, like, you really have to do it for the right reasons. It takes too much energy, too much of your creative juice, too much passion to even get like launched. And I'm not sure what it's going to look like long term. You know, that's a different story. To sustain it is a different exercise. So you really have to, you know, don't overthink it. Try it out and stop if you don't like it. But don't do it because you feel pressured to, because people say, well, why don't you sew for money? Yeah. You know, like that's not a good reason to start. Yeah. And
I spent years resisting people telling me I should start a soaping business, because it wasn't something I wanted to do then. And this year it suddenly became something I did want to do. And so I did it. But yeah, I did. I spent a lot of time resisting pressure.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Well, cool. So many good lessons learned. We should we should check in 6 months and see where we are.
Definitely. Absolutely. Let's be honest. I'm going to keep talking about my soap whenever I get a chance.
Me too.
You know, well, yours makes sense because it's a sewing podcast. Mine doesn't make sense, but I'm going to do it anyway.
No, I mean, I think that it becomes part of your world. Like, it fills up a portion of your brain. And like, I think it's valuable.
And I hope so. It is time for our So Inspo segment, which is our favorite segment. I don't know about this episode, though. I think maybe that discussion was my favorite. Anyway, this is where we share what's giving us our sewing inspo at the moment. So, Amanda, what is giving you your So Inspo?
Well, no surprise, mine is business themed. I have a show coming up in September, so I have a deadline. And it's kind of the first time I've sewn with a deadline in a little while where I would be trying to make like a quantity of items, not just finished one piece. So that's different. But it is inspiring. It has inspired me to think a lot about like fabric sourcing, and I've been doing a lot of research about that. I've been doing a lot of like local sourcing, thinking about secondhand fabric sources, things like that. Things so kind of come at that from a smart direction. And I mean, I love that too, because it's like I've got this base thing that I'm going to make, but the fabric can really still inspire it. And like how I block it in or, you know, incorporate it. I kind of like that. Still, because it's very much focused on the textile at hand. And the other thing that is giving me a lot of inspiration right now is also related to getting ready for this show, but I've had so much fun thinking about branding. And like this happened to me before when I did shows. I like got stamps. I made my own bags. I had fun with the labels. I had signs, you know, like I kind of love that stuff, and it's all an exercise in kind of defining who you are, but also like deciding who you are and making it, you know, it's kind of fun.
Because
I've had, you know, fun.
I have business cards. I love them.
Yeah.
They make me very happy.
I had to get a sign for the show. That was fun.
I got a soap stamp, so nice. I can stamp my logo onto my soaps. It's probably not going to start till Christmas, but because the other ones are a little too far along in their curing process, but I am so excited to start stamping my logo onto my soaps. Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. I think Ruby is going to be in charge of that department, like all of the fun stuff once we decide everything. But
are you going to make personalized labels?
I have personalized labels to sew in. I'm making some paper labels for things, business cards, sign. It's been fun. It's expensive fun, but it's fun. And like I said, I had the Pop of Neutral handle on Instagram for a while, but now like thinking about what does that look like as a business, and what represents me? I mean, I didn't go. I know you had your logos designed, right?
Yes.
I am such a self-doer for better and usually for worse. So, you know, I'll probably have to rebrand when I get sick of the fonts I chose, but that'll be another lesson learned.
Yeah. No, that's totally cool. I mean, I used my sister-in-law, so it's not like I did anything really dramatic, but she's amazing and I love my logo.
It's so good. It's so good. How about you?
Well, I am skipping out on my soap business because this is Sew Inspo and my sewing business is not sewing, or my soaping business is not sewing. I am still kind of thinking about that denim gored skirt from my leftover jeans that I was talking about in the last episode. I pulled a bunch of my jeans out of my closet. I've got a stack of them. It's on Instagram if you want to see it. And really what I'm waiting for is for you and me and Meg to get together and have a like sewing meetup so that I can cut all of those jeans into pieces and start figuring out what I'm going to do with them. But I feel like I got this idea that I wanted to do it when you guys were around, and so now I can't get started doing it by myself. It just feels wrong. So we're gonna have to do that real soon so that I can actually do a little sewing.
That sounds good. I will say shout out to the folks who have been responding to our posts on Instagram.
Oh, yes.
We've been getting some good comments and some good feedback. Also, thank you to everyone who has left us a review. Like, those reviews are kind of giving me life. Like, they...
Yes.
I don't know. It was always part of my inspiration for doing a podcast is reaching people, enriching their relationship with their sewing. And... when I saw those reviews, it reminded me of like why we decided to do this again.
Yes, they make me so happy, and I'm just so grateful for everyone who takes the time to write us a review or even just click that you like us, because it feels awfully good. It's very validating, and makes me happy.
Absolutely. Indeed. Good episode. I knew it would
definitely be.
Yes. I hope that people who are not interested in starting a small business at all and already know that about themselves can still find something useful here. But I'm also hoping for, you know, people who have pondered that, which I don't know. I feel like at some point in your sewing journey, pretty much everyone thinks about, can I make money doing this?
Right.
I hope it gave people some good perspective. Pros, cons.
Yeah.
We'll continue to share
maybe
the good and the bad. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have lots of things to share on the website side. And I'm also happy if anyone needs to reach out, like to share what I've learned so far on that side of things. But
yes. Speaking of your website, what is your website, Amanda?
Well, can you believe it? My website is popofneutral.com.
Nice.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to visit that.
Do, please. Thank you, past me. See, I've been pondering this a while. It was, I think, 2019 me bought that domain. I'm so happy I did that. I had
Good
no
job,
idea if
2019
I would
be
here. I know. And then... to be able to kind of set it up and sync it and use that domain with my for the store was amazing. I felt so proud for about 10 minutes. It's not amazing. it's not a great website, and I'm still kind of populating it with stuff. But
yeah,
those little victories, though, when you can actually do it yourself, good stuff. And yours, Kate, in case people need spooky soap here soon. I do.
My website is cherrystonesoap.com, and the spooky soap will hopefully be in there early September. And in the meantime, there's some lovely everyday soaps, and also some a really nice collection. It's the growing season collection. It's a combination of fruit and something. So there's a blackberry sage, an apple rose, and an apricot freesia. And they all smell delicious. They're all really pretty. I only have a few left in stock. But check it out.
All of those names made me hungry.
They are really yummy.
Blackberry sage.
I mean, not like literally yummy, because don't eat the soap, but they all smell really good.
I think you need to make them. Are there t-shirts and like mugs that say don't eat the soap?
Not yet, but you're right. I probably need to do that.
I mean, maybe check and see if other people want to eat the soap as much as I do.
Oh, well, my niece does. I have to tell my niece all the time not to eat the soap.
It's just, I mean... it just happens. It's perfectly natural, I swear. Well, lovely episode. Lovely chatting with you, Kate. I'm glad that we have been going through this journey together and at the same time. And you've been so helpful to me in sharing your resources, particularly on the legal side of things, which we didn't get into too much today. But always a pleasure.
Yes, well, I'm glad to be as much help as I can be, and it was lovely chatting with you, too.
Yeah, indeed. Right. So until next time.
Let's sew.
Here We Sew Again is produced by Amanda Carestio, Meg Healy, and me, Kate Zinard. Find us on Instagram at Here We Sew Again Pod, or email us at herewesewagainpod@gmail.com. Our show website is shows.acast.com/here-we-sew-again. Thanks for listening, and now it's sew time.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.